The new refined 7-seat Kia Sorento. Kia's large SUV. Available now at your nearest Kia dealer. And Toolmart, the complete tool centre. Serving WA for over 40 years. This is Sports Day.
Yes, hello everyone. It's an early edition of Sports Day WA because it's Thursday, and every time there's Thursday night AFL footy, they push me between 2 and 3 on a Thursday. Then we have the run home between 3 and 5 with Hayes and Marta, who are doing all their prep for their show that follows Sports Day WA. And then we're into AFL action. Round 5 already, and it is, as we know, Melbourne taking on Brisbane at the MCG. Looking forward to that, and also looking forward to the game a bit later on in the weekend. And we're talking about Sunday afternoon, the final game of the round. Gets underway at 2 o'clock. West Coast Eagles taking on Richmond. And, come on, Eagles fans, even today I was out and about speaking to a few people in sport and a few general people that follow the West Coast Eagles, and there's real general belief that the West Coast Eagles can win their first game of the season. They'll have a big crowd here. I think people are coming left, right and centre to maybe witness something that doesn't happen too often, and that is the West Coast Eagles win an AFL game. So I think there'll be a crowd in excess of 50,000 here at Optus Stadium, and it should be a beauty between the West Coast Eagles and Richmond. 2 o'clock, it gets underway on Sunday afternoon, and you can hear the broadcast on SENWA. I'll be joined at the microphone by Jimmy Williams and Scotty Cummings. So looking forward to that. Very shortly, I'll speak to Ash Brown, the senior writer of the AFL Record, to see what is in the record this weekend. Always a very good read. And later, we're going to speak to a former professional golfer. He is now a respected golfing commentator, Ewan Porter, about the Masters, the US Masters, which is the pinnacle of any golf tournament in the world. And it happens this time every year. Well, roughly around about this time every year, around the Easter break at Augusta National there in Georgia. And there is so many storylines to come out of the US Masters this year. Greg Norman, who was banned from attending the US Masters, wasn't allowed on the Augusta National Golf Course last year because, as we know, was the commissioner, the head honcho of the LIV Golf Tournament. That was just underway. So he was barred, but he's been seen around Augusta National in the practice rounds. Will they allow him in? And the other big story is Tiger Woods, who at an age of what, 46, 48, I think it's, 46, will be going around for his 26th Masters, which is quite unbelievable. And he is confident that he can do well. And I'm going to ask our golfing expert a bit later on whether, firstly, Tiger can make the cut, which means get into the weekend and the final two rounds, whether he can get even deeper than that, maybe into the last group or the second last group on the final day, where the challenges for the green jacket will be. And someone said to me today, and he's a very respected golfing identity here in Perth, Western Australia, that if, for whatever unforeseen scenario, Tiger wins it, it'll be by the length of the straight the most significant sports story when it comes to the sport of golf, if not just as significant as the biggest sports story for a long, long time. Are we talking history because it's Tiger Woods? I don't think he'll get to that, but the big interest will be just how deep he'll go in his 26th showing at the US Masters. Gets underway late tonight, all through the early hours of tomorrow morning is when the action happens. Speaking of action, plenty of AFL action is about to happen. Gets underway later this afternoon. As I mentioned, SEN will broadcast Melbourne against Brisbane from 5 o'clock straight after the run home. And now for Power Every Moment with a Signet Power Bank. As we do, we speak to the editor of the AFL Record for his preview on what's in the record this weekend in Ashley Brown. Ashley, thanks for your time.
G'day, Pete. How are you going?
Good, thanks. Gather round last weekend, and the footy world in some way is back to normal this weekend. What do you think of gather round?
Yeah, I didn't get there this year, but I think it's a fabulous idea to have that round. It's an extra round of footy. South Australia does it really well. It's become a major sort of football tourism event. Being able to get, I think, is great. People love being able to watch four or five or six, some cases, seven games of live footy a weekend. So in 4 days, so I think it ticks a lot of boxes. I think. Don't you think they need to do something extra for WA? Not quite sure what that is yet, Pete, but I think they're the ones they need to turn attention to now with some sort of investment in some sort of marquee event. But I think going around the trip, I think it belongs in South Australia for the long term.
Yeah, I agree with you. I said that earlier on Sports Day WA, that I believe it now just stays in South Australia. It ticks all the boxes in relation to people, particularly from the Mecca of AFL football, being Melbourne, the ability to simply drive down or just a short flight down to Adelaide. People come from a lot of Melburnians who follow all the clubs in Melbourne, all converge on Adelaide, and I just feel it's probably a good fit. I'm not sure it'd work as well in the northern states, in Sydney and Brisbane, and geographically it makes it a bit difficult here in Perth. I was actually thinking about if they do take it away from South Australia, it might be in a few years' time when Tasmania are in the competition. Wouldn't that be a big fillip for the island state if they had gathered around in a few years' time?
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all if they, it's one way of putting, you know, if they build this new stadium, Pete, and they're looking for ways to fill it, then surely gather around in Tasmania in the first season to create, you know, three or four more event days in that stadium. Also up north in Launceston, where they're going to put a fair bit of money in that stadium as well. A gather round, so the second gather round, maybe the weekend to welcome Tasmania to the AFL, I think would be a really good idea.
Okay. That's a few years down the track. Let's have a look at the AFL record. I believe it's been, you've been sort of deep diving into the kennel. It's been a big summer there at the Western Bulldogs. Tell us about the feature that you put together.
Yeah, I reckon outside Melbourne, as in the team, probably no club's had a more interesting off-season than the Western Bulldogs. They're 2-2 after four games. I guess a huge game tomorrow night to get that season in a positive win-loss ledger. But it was worth looking at the big decisions they've made, some of the big decisions, especially around their list that they still need to make. So we spent a bit of time looking at them this week.
The SEN hot take that you have in the record involves commentary and quotes from Malcolm Blight, the Premiership captain Mark Bickley, and of course Blight being a Premiership coach for the Adelaide Football Club. That's the hot take, because no doubt they're looking at where the Crows are sitting at the moment.
Yeah, we thought it was worth the Crows have been one of the disappointments of the season, haven't they, with their 0-4 start. And we've got a couple of Adelaide experts on the payroll here at SEN, being Mark Bickley and Malcolm Blight. Both had a bit to say about the Crows, so we featured that in the hot take this week, along with a couple of other people's opinions as well.
Tonight, Lachie Neale, who's been, I believe, cleared to play. There were some concerns during the course of the week with injury, but he'll play his 250th.
Yeah, it's fantastic achievement. What a player he's been, two Brownlow medals and 250 games. And you'd have to say, Pete, I don't know what you think, he's now in the conversation for one of the greatest Brisbane players of all time. We tend to think all those guys who played in the sort of Premiership hat-trick from 2001 to 2003, headlined by Michael Voss, but the body of work for Lachie Neale started to stack up with those guys.
Yeah, no, you make a good point, actually. When I think about Brisbane team at the turn of the century, how powerful they was with Voss and Simon Black and others running through the midfield. I agree. Lachie Neale, two Brownlow medals, 250 games. OK, he played half of those for the Fremantle Dockers, but he's been enormous for Brisbane. And hopefully this year, even though they've started slowly, he could be part on whether Brisbane actually make a serious tilt for the Premiership after missing out last year. But they would need to win, you'd think, against Melbourne tonight. If they're 1-4, it's going to make it a bit difficult, isn't it, to actually try and prize a top four spot?
Yeah, 1-4, and they've already lost twice at home, haven't they, Pete? So they'll be too far back tonight, I reckon, if they lose tonight, to get that top two, top four spot they would need to be realistic at the Premiership. I'm not sure that could be a flag from 5th to 8th.
We spoke about Gather Round at the top of the chat, but there is a feature on the big event in South Australia in the record this weekend.
Yeah, you're a photo gallery. There's so many great activities on and off the field over the 4 days in Adelaide. So we've just, with our partnership with AFL Photos, Michael Wilson and his team, we've featured some of the best shots of the Festival of Football, as it was. in a spread in the record this week.
Tell us about Sam Edmonds' weekly What We Know part of the record.
Yeah, we do this every week now. Sam just looks at the four or five talking points out of the weekend just gone and the weekend to come, and he sort of picks the eyes out of the big sort of on-field, mainly on-field footy stories that are buzzing about for the week. So he's gone and looked at a couple of teams, Port Adelaide, he's had a bit of a look at Hawthorn with them as well. So he's looked at how the weekend footy's shaping up.
And it's interesting, isn't it, the AFL record? It's certainly value for money. You've got that 24-page match day section featuring the return of selected teams and player lists for each game. So you can really be on top of who's playing, what they're delivering, and the teams and how they're likely to shape up for the weekend.
Yeah, we're putting that together now. That's what we do the last couple of hours every Thursday before the teams come out. It's all the stats pages, all the facts and figures, the player profiles and the team lists. We have to make sure they're up to date and every bit of information is ready to go. And then we get the teams fed to us shortly and put those in, and then they're off to the printer tonight and at all match day venues around the weekend. The match day section's come back. We brought it back last year after COVID. It's a very popular and also essential part of the record, we think.
The Round 5 edition will be on sale, as we know, at all venues hosting AFL matches, including the game that gets underway at 2 o'clock here on Sunday between West Coast and Richmond. And as I said in the intro, there's a lot of interest in this game. There's been, certainly it's been beat up a bit, Harley Reid, the youngster, the teenager, against one of the greats in recent times of Dusty Martin from Richmond. The West Coast Eagles were encouraging last week in the gather round. There is a few people even brave enough to select that they could record their first win of the season on Sunday afternoon. Are you one of those, Ash, as we let you go?
Well, we're not going to go 0-22 for the year, West Coast. We know that they're going to win. They're going to win, you know, three or four games probably. They should win them at home. So they would look upon this. I think Hawthorn come to town at some stage in the year, probably North Melbourne as well. They'd look upon games like that as really winnable games. So I would be very surprised if West Coast haven't set themselves up for this one. And wouldn't it be fantastic if Harley Reid does play in Dustin Martin for parts of the game and has some success on him? That even if West Coast don't win the game, that would get West Coast people very excited. Not that you lot people get. Need a lot of excuses to get excited about Harley Reid over there, Pete, but that will just add to it.
Yeah, very much so. Ash Brown, editor of the AFL Footy Record, thanks for joining us for your regular segment here on Sports Day WA. Enjoy the footy.
Yeah, look forward to it. Always good to chat,
mate. Good on you. Ashley Brown there from the AFL Record. All thanks to Signet Power Bank. And for Aussies living life on the go, Signet phone accessories go the distance, keeping you connected and protected. Gets underway tonight. It is the match between Melbourne and the Brisbane Lions. And the respective coaches in Chris Fagan from Brisbane and Simon Goodwin from Melbourne looked ahead to tonight's match.
No, they're in good form, the D's. Outside of their first game against the Swans, they've been in great form and they're on their home ground, so in front of their supporters, so it's a big task for us, but one we're really looking forward to. Yeah, no, they're some of the premium defenders in the competition, so it won't just be about our forwards versus their backs, so it'll be about the way we move the ball and the sort of pressure that we can apply, so it's not just a one-way street there. I thought last week our ball movement to the forwards is really good and they got moving. So just hope that we should get a little bit of confidence from that.
One thing you know about Brisbane is their midfield group and their ability to get their ball forward to talent is exceptional. And when they get that type of game, they're very hard to play against. So, you know, they're very dynamic ahead of the ball. They've got great tall guys that mark the ball, but also good at ground level. So they're a huge challenge. I know our back line look forward to when they come up against Brisbane because they know they're going to be playing some really intense footy down there. So we're looking forward to that battle. You know, our backs versus their forwards is something you'll come and watch. Yeah, look, we haven't achieved anything yet. You know, we're 4-1 and we're positioning ourselves, but, you know, right from the start of pre-season, we knew that it wasn't going to be about what we said publicly about who we are and what we're about. We wanted to show everyone, and we've started that process. We're not complete. We've got a lot of growth in us. We've got a lot of continual improvements still left, but what we do want to do is show our people, make people proud to belong to our footy club, and we know internally what that looks like, but we need to go out there and show people.
Yeah, interesting, isn't it? The way it's all shaping up in the big one tonight between Melbourne and Brisbane. The rest of the round also very intriguing. Friday night, we've got the Bulldogs against Essendon. A bit of news coming out of the Bulldogs is that their coach, Luke Beveridge, has conceded that All-Australian star Caleb Daniel could spend a period of time in the VFL as his name emerges as a potential target for other clubs. Now, Daniel was a club best and fairest winner and is contracted for another two seasons on up to $700,000 a year. Now, he's played all four AFL games this season, but once started as the sub and has been subbed off on another occasion, with his place in the side no longer as secure as it once was. And he and fellow All-Australian Jack McRae fight for game time after years as key members of the Beveridge's outfit. The premiership coach said the team would always come first and Daniel wouldn't have it any other way. Interesting. Essendon Bulldogs tomorrow night, Marvel Stadium on Saturday. It's GWS against St Kilda in the early game. Carlton against Adelaide. Gold Coast at home against Hawthorn. One you'd expect the Suns to win, but Hawthorn showed a bit against Collingwood with that late charge, particularly in the second half last week. Port Adelaide against Fremantle, for mine, is the pick of the games this weekend. Both sides sitting in the top eight. Port Adelaide in fifth position. The Dockers, in fact, in sixth position. The Dockers one behind in seventh, but it's still early days, and both have won three and lost one. So one of them will go 4-1, the other one 3-2, and it could go either way. It should be a beauty. 5:30 our time at the Adelaide Oval on Saturday night. On Sunday, Geelong against North Melbourne. So the Cats are set to go from five games with five wins. West Coast against Richmond is the late game at Optus Stadium at 2 o'clock. And a chance for West Coast to record their first win of the season. And Richmond, on the other hand, have only won the one game, and that was against Sydney, which was quite interesting. And the byes this weekend are Collingwood and the Sydney Swans. The other interesting story for Cobram Estate, Premier Australian extra virgin olive oil, is what's happening in Sydney. Now, the equivalent of the big clubs in the AFL, Carlton, Collingwood, Richmond, Essendon, in relation to the following, the biggest club in the NRL and the club that's been the most successful in relation to premierships has been the South Sydney Rabbitohs. And all of a sudden, in the last 24 hours, the Kangaroos coach Mal Meninga has come out and said he hasn't been offered anything official by South Sydney, but he's interested in taking over for the rest of the season if he's approached to coach the side, because he's an immortal. He's been heavily linked to the role because Jason Demetriou, who is the current coach at the Rabbitohs, looks like he could be sacked after this weekend, with the Rabbitohs with only one win and four losses from their opening five games. And they take on the Cronulla Sharks on Saturday. And at the moment, the Rabbitohs remain at the foot of the table. This is what Mal Meninga had to say on the potential of taking up the role.
I reckon I can handle it better because I'm a lot more experienced. But
yes,
in saying that as well, Jimmy, you know, it's interim. You know, so it's only for the remainder of the year if it does pan out that way, mate. You know, so you know, I took the Kangaroos on a tour for 8 weeks. You know, the World Cup.
Yes.
So you know, so I know I've got the necessary skill set to help the club out with some really good people there. Obviously, you know, so. Yeah, I mean, you give it some seriously consideration. I mean, I always thought in life, and always know in life that, you know, you've given an opportunity, you've got to thrash it out, you've got to take it to the nth degree. And at the end of the day, can you always say no to it all? But yeah, it's something that you've got to explore, and that's who I am. You know, it's a challenge. It would be a challenge. I love challenges. I love winning. I'm competitive. Like I said, I'm flattered by it all, and if it is authentic, I'll give it some really serious considerations. But on the flip side, I'm really happy in life, Jimmy. I've got all my work, my life balance, you know, all sorted out. Really happy that I'm the national coach, which is something I cherish.
Yep.
And something that, you know, I want to continually doing. And if that is impeded, well, you know, obviously, you know, there'd be no chance of moving forward with any arrangement, because I want to coach Australia through to the next World Cup.
So there you go. That's Mal Meninga talking about taking on the role as interim coach until the end of the year for the South Sydney Rabbitohs, with Jason Demetriou, who looked like his final game in charge will be against the Sharks
on Saturday. It looks like he's keen. Is he telling us everything? I think he is. He probably hasn't had anything formally put in front of him. I gather that the Rabbitohs are waiting for this weekend to pass. With Jason Demetriou, who's saying at the moment, he's focused on making sure that the Rabbits beat the Sharks on Saturday and make their record 2-4. So I gather once that game's over, there might be a formal offer to Mal Meninga to take control of the club until the end of the season. So who takes over next year? And it appears that South Sydney are keen to bring back Wayne Bennett in 2025. So it looks like Bennett has warned people, don't try and predict the future. As those rumours continue to swirl about him returning to South, the veteran coach will naturally be linked to any vacancy that pops up, given he's off contract at the end of the season and clearly has a desire to keep working, given he wanted to take the Kiwis job that eventually went to Stacey Jones. And as we know, Souths were pretty successful under the tutelage of the 70-plus-year-old Wayne Bennett. I think he's 72 now, which is quite incredible and certainly one of the biggest figures in the history of the National Rugby League. Speaking about big figures, Tiger Woods is one of the big figures when it comes to golf. And by the way, that update on Mal Meninga, thanks to Cobram Estate, Australia's most awarded extra virgin olive oil, grown, harvested, and first cold pressed in northern Victoria. Yes, Tiger Woods is one, in relation to the modern day, one of the biggest golfing identities in history. He rivals probably the Arnold Palmers, the Jack Nicklauses, in what he's achieved in his time. But what's come with Tiger Woods is all the off the golf course stories. Of course, his marriage split up, his car accident, his infidelity and all that sort of stuff. So we're going to actually have a chat to a gentleman who's going to preview the US Masters that gets underway later tonight, our time. He's a former professional golfer. He's going to preview the Masters. His name is Ewan Porter. He joins us next here on Sports Day WA.
The new refined 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV. Available now at your nearest Kia dealer. And Toolmart, the complete tool centre, serving WA for over 40 years. This is Sports Day. Don't change me up.
Don't change a thing. Back to Sports Day WA. I tell you what, if you don't watch golf during the course of the year, I reckon you gravitate to one event. And it starts late tonight into the early morning tomorrow, our time. And we're talking about this week's Masters Tournament. And the gates to golf's utopian fields are open once more, with Augusta welcoming the biggest stars of the PGA Tour and LIV Golf for the Masters. And of course, there's some great storylines within the Masters. And former golfing professional and now respected golf commentator Ewan Porter joins us on the program to preview the golf's big event. Ewan, thanks for your time.
You're very welcome. And that's a hell of an intro, the gates to the utopia. I love it.
It is a bit, isn't it? Both sides of golf's great divide come together there at Augusta over the next 4 days.
Yeah, and look, I mean, obviously you're alluding to the PGA Tour and as well, and I think for the last 2 years that most of the players have said it's really brought upon by the media more than anything. The players see each other on a regular basis when they're home, not necessarily at golf tournaments anymore, but it's all fine. It's the media beat up, I think, at the end of the day.
Is this one of the most open Masters ever, considering, Ewan, that there's a bit of poor form for many of the world's top golfers? Seven of the world's top 10 golfers are winless this year. Does that make it an open event?
Well, look, judging by that statistic, yeah, I mean, one can't argue against that. But I think the Masters, more so than any other major championship, sees the cream rise to the top. You've only got to look back to really since its inception, and it's a very illustrious list of champions, and I think the world number one, Scottie Scheffler, no one's bringing better form than him into this week. And then the defending champion is John Rahm. These top players, the world's top 10 players, bar maybe a Xander Schauffele, who hasn't won a major championship. Look, I think outside of him, everyone's won one of the big ones, and you know, they know how to get it done in big tournaments. So yes and no. I mean, these players are so talented, it would not surprise me at all to see a relatively unheralded player be there or win at the end, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's going to be one of the big names.
Would be fair to say, and you mentioned Scottie Scheffler, who's won twice this year. If you beat Scottie Scheffler, you could be wearing the green jacket.
He is 11-4. The short odds that are placed on him to win this week is almost reminiscent of how Tiger was in his heyday. He's, I think, in his last three starts, he's gone win-win and then third or fourth in the last event, and that was only because of a bulky putter at the end. And he's got so much confidence. He's won a Masters before. He's the best player in the world at the moment, and there's a reason why he's the favourite. I personally think he's going to win as well.
Let's talk about Tiger Woods, because you mentioned that in your last little answer. 48 years of age, more physical ailments than ever. As we know, major championships stunning on his resume. He's playing in his 26th Masters this week at Augusta National. And he's got genuine belief, even though he hasn't played much golf, that he could go pretty close to winning the green jacket. Is he delusional?
Well, I think a lot of people believe that he is. I think the biggest question around Tiger is whether he can actually walk 72 holes. And I know that sounds a bit silly, but twice in the last 2 years, he's made the cut and then pulled out after the third round. I actually walked around with him at the PGA Championship 2 years ago in the third round in Tulsa in Oklahoma. And he barely made it to the end and then pulled out before the final round. So to me, that's the biggest question mark, more than the physical part of it. He seems to be swinging the club pretty well, but he only plays four times a year now in the major championships. And, the rest of the players playing 20 to 25 events a year, I can't see it. I think perhaps it is bordering on slightly delusional, but he's arguably the greatest golfer ever. So who am I to say in that regard?
There's been some comparisons actually made with other legendary sports people. Wayne Gretzky, it's like, in relation to Tiger, Gretzky believing he can score 60 goals at the retirement age of 38. Larry Bird believing he can still drop 55 points in a game at his retirement age of 35. And Tom Brady believing he can still throw 50 touchdown passes at his retirement age of 44. And when you look at those three examples, it is a real long shot. Someone said to me actually this morning, if he makes the cut, all of a sudden the interest is going to grow exponentially. And if he gets to that final group on Sunday there in the United States, it could be, if not, the greatest sports story in history. Would you agree?
It'd be awfully close to it, no question.
It'd certainly be the greatest golf story in history, wouldn't it?
Well, I think the greatest golf story in history is when he won back in 2019. He had 1,000 different surgeries prior to that, and obviously the scandal. This time around, it's a little bit different. He really shouldn't even be here. He should be dead after that car crash a couple of years ago. So this would be the greatest sports story, well, certainly the greatest golf story ever. Look, he's the needle mover still. There's no question about it at the age of 48. And he makes the cut or he's in contention, we could see the highest rating golf tournament in history.
Yeah, well, at the moment, his ranking is 959 in the world. He's played only one tournament this year and he's failed to make it through two rounds. So there you go, all up against it. The other interesting aspect, I reckon, of the Masters, again, off the course, is that the LIV Golf Commissioner, Greg Norman, was spotted on the grounds of Augusta National yesterday as a paying customer. Of course, he was denied entry last year. It'd be very interesting to see whether the 69-year-old is spotted amongst the crowd when things get underway later tonight, our time.
Yeah, that was that was certainly interesting to see that. But there's 13 LIV golfers in the field this year, and certainly quite a few of them in with a great chance of winning. Brooks Koepka, John Rahm, the defending champion, Bryson DeChambeau. Yeah, look, I mean, it's very interesting. There's six Aussies in the field also. He was spotted chatting to them in their practice rounds. And, you know, I think the Masters, more so than any other major championship, they've come out and said that they're more open-minded as to how their criteria works going forward in allowing LIV players into their championship. So that's good news. And I think we can all agree that the sooner we see some unity amongst the golf bodies, the better, because it's becoming quite exhausting.
Let's have a look at the Australians. Are we maybe thinking ahead of the play to suggest that the likes of Jason Day and co have got a realistic chance of taking off the US Masters, or are they there particularly to make up numbers? There's no chance of an Australian maybe going through to win it. How do you see it?
Well, I mean, of course, Adam Scott's the lone Australian to win the Masters, but that was 11 years ago. Jason Day's been playing some terrific golf the last 12 to 18 months. Wouldn't surprise me to see Jason in contention. He's got a great record around here. Minwoo Lee has played really well around here as well on debut a couple of years ago. Yeah, look, I mean, only six Aussies in the field is probably our lowest smallest contingent for a while. Which is a little bit disappointing, but they're all top-quality players there. Cam Smith hasn't been really displaying his best form of late, and he was sick last week as well. Look, it never surprises me, as I've said, to see a top player in contention. I certainly hope that one of them's right there at the end, but if I had to pick one of them, I'd probably say Jason Day.
What about Minwoo Lee? We think he's our best chance. Okay, we are a bit, favoured towards him because he's the City of Fremantle golfer that comes from this side of the country. Many are suggesting that he could be the one to watch, particularly with his power driving.
He's certainly got a game, that suits major championships. And I was right there alongside him during his win at the PGA Championship out here at the end of last year. I think one thing that goes against Minwoo Lee a little bit at Augusta National, and it's only a minor thing really, is there's a lot of dogleg left holes there. And Minwoo Lee fades the ball off the tee from left to right. That's not ideal. It means that he has to throttle back to a three wood sometimes to be able to turn that ball right to left. But that's only a minor thing. I mean, a top player like him can adjust, and he's proven he can play well here. Yeah, look, I mean, I think in order, I would say Jason Day, Cameron Smith, who has a great record at Augusta, Minwoo Lee, they're probably our top three.
It's a very challenging course, isn't it, Ewan? There is a lot of undulation, a lot of hills, and I believe they grate it from the top of the hill down the fairway to the bottom. So if the ball doesn't get over that ridge, it tends to roll back. Is that correct?
Yes, exactly. And I mean, there's no greater example than the ninth hole there. If you come up short of the green, it rolls back some 40 or 50 yards. Yeah, look, I mean, the Masters and generally all major championships test every facet of your game. If you watch professional golf on a week-to-week basis, you might see someone who's a poor driver or an average iron player still be there in contention. But if you have any weakness in your game in a major, particularly Augusta, you won't be there at the end. You've got to be firing on all cylinders.
Ewan, before we let you go, can you go past Scottie Scheffler? And who will be, you mentioned Jason Day, do you see him as the main Aussie challenger?
I do, yes. I believe Scottie Scheffler is going to win his second green jacket. I think Xander Schauffele is due to win his first major, so it wouldn't surprise me to see him there in contention as well. But I think Scheffler is going to win his second major on Sunday.
Will Tiger make the cut?
Yes.
You think he will? So you think he'll get into the weekend?
I do think he'll make the cut, and I think there's a question mark as to whether he will complete 72 holes, because it's a very, very, very difficult walking golf course with how hilly it is. But yeah. And he had to pull out after round three last year. But I think he will make the cut.
We heard from, in fact, my producer, Jimmy Williams, just mentioned that Minwoo may have just incurred a little slight injury. Is that to his hand? But hopefully he'll be okay when the first round starts, which could be interrupted significantly because one of those Georgia thunderstorms and rain belts, from all reports, is hitting when the Masters gets underway Thursday over there.
Yes. Look, I mean, he has a broken finger, I believe, Minwoo Lee. That occurred last week, but I don't think it was bothering him too much in practice rounds. So, I mean, I guess if you've got an injury like that, the good thing for a golfer is if you play well, you look like you're a warrior, and if you play poorly, you've got an excuse, right?
Yeah, exactly. And he may have Thursday off, depending on the weather. So we have to wait and see what happens. But it looks like the weather gets better as the tournament goes on. Ewan Porter, thank you very much. A great insight and great preview to the Masters. The 88th edition of the Masters takes place, and it starts tonight, our time, through to Friday morning. And there'll be a lot of people burning the midnight oil to actually watch what is considered the best golf tournament on the planet every year. Thanks for your time today.
Yeah, you're very welcome, Peter. Anytime. Thank you.
The new refined 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV. Available now at your nearest Kia dealer. And Toolmart, the complete tool centre, serving WA for over 40 years. This is Sports Day. Don't change me out.
Don't change me. Yeah, it's great to have your company. A big night tonight. It is Melbourne against Brisbane at the MCG, and there's special interest certainly for WA football followers because Melbourne will introduce its third AFL debutant of the year into its lineup, and it's Colton Tholstrop, who is the West Australian, hails from Esperance, and of course went and played football at Subiaco from where he was drafted. This is a nice piece of audio. You probably have heard it before. I'd like to replay it for you just in case you haven't, when he calls his mum and dad about being selected.
Guess what?
What?
I'm playing tomorrow night.
Oh,
yeah. No, I am. I'm not even.
Oh, cool. You're joking. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
When did you find out?
Like, probably like 20 minutes ago, probably. Yeah, half an hour, quarter of an hour, quarter.
Are you really sure?
Yeah, I'm playing.
I've got to get some flights.
Yeah.
I've got to get a hair done.
Oh, I have my hair done? When's the game?
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night?
Yeah.
Oh,
Mum, yeah.
Are you by yourself?
No.
Nah,
nah, you're you're on camera.
I think I swore.
Yeah.
That's okay, right. We can beep it out.
Making some calls and getting some freaking flights.
Yeah, all right, no worries. I'll talk to you later, Mum.
Well, tell them not to change their mind.
That is brilliant. Got to get some freaking flights and make sure they don't change their mind. Good old Mum. Well done. And we wish them the best of luck. And that's certainly a special moment. Thanks to the new refined 7-seat Kia Sorento. Kia's large SUV available now at your nearest Kia dealer. And for Tyre Power, their power-up sale is now on. Just a couple of news headlines doing the rounds. As we know, it appears that Mal Meninga could take over as interim coach of the South Sydney Rabbitohs. And the Western Bulldogs coach Luke Beveridge has conceded All-Australian star Caleb Daniel could spend a period of time in the VFL as his name emerges as a potential target for other clubs. Yes, and that is Sports Day, the early edition on a Thursday. Every time there's Thursday night AFL footy, I precede the run home. Hayes and Mardo are ready between 3 and 5 here on SENWA. Ben Miller from the Richmond Footy Club is going to join, and also Mardo's best mate, Jesse Wagstaff. He's going to be on the program as well. Always great radio, and those two go head-to-head, plus so much more, and plenty of time for you to get on the text line 0487 736 736. Have a great weekend. I look forward to your company on SENWA from around about just before 2 o'clock on Sunday for the game between the West Coast Eagles and the Tigers. Thanks to Bryant. Enjoy your weekend. Hayes and Mardo are next on The Run Home.